Dressed, huh? The cactus into this Nancy Wilson. I think this is Nancy Wilson from Heart on this gentle song. From Vanilla Sky. Did you see that movie? It seemed like I didn't like it, but I think I need to revisit it. Kirsten, my wife, said she liked that one. Cam Diaz and Tom Cruise hooking up on that one. Can't remember what happens. I don't retain it so long. Most movies, I kind of forget what happened pretty quickly. 6:06 here in New Jersey. Geez, it must be 90 degrees out there. Hot day. Crazy day across the river in New York City. A terrible incident there with people getting run over. Some man went up onto the sidewalk and killed somebody and hurt 22 other people. Geez, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden passed away. Who expected that? I certainly didn't. Too young. 52. Now Lane Staley's gone. Chris Cornell, Kurt Cobain. Take care, Eddie Vedder. Ah, geez, Israel, Grunge Gods. Some great singers, great artists. We're going to miss Chris Cornell. Too soon. I don't quite know what I'm doing. Maybe we'll take some calls in a little bit. Been pretty busy lately. Thought I'd float in and know you guys would just let me wing it and see what happens. I got a story. I got a mini musical. I might throw those on later. I don't know. Maybe just talk to you. Let's go back to it, though. Feels weird when I play too much music, like I'm not supposed to. I got maybe in this slot I'm really not supposed to. It's not supposed to be music intensive. But the Pidge likes the music, and I've been listening to some stuff lately. I like to kind of try and share it with you. And a lot of this stuff, maybe it's new to me. You might be like, yeah, I've been listening to that for years, Clay. I remember coming across this band, British Sea Power, a few years back. playing a track off that. I like their first album, The Decline of British Sea Power. This is a good song. On the Rough Trade label from 2003, British Sea Power, Fear of Drowning. This is The Dusty Show. Summer's coming. I'm glad you're here tonight, you guys. Stick around with me. I'll be here till 7. Then Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition. The whole TNP follows. British Sea Power. Did you really call and I didn't even, I don't think I asked for calls. You called anyway.
I know, Clay. So I like you in the morning to listen to Chris and Ginny.
Right.
I know it's kind of cliche, and Black Old Sun. I just heard this afternoon when I come home from work, I'm a landscaper.
Right.
I know you won't fit in your sound, you know, your sound play or your list of songs.
Right.
I was really pissed off.
About Chris Cornell?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did it mean to you?
Because it's the 80s. I mean, 80s, 90s.
Right. Was that your era, the grunge era? You a grunge guy?
Well, my son was, but I really enjoyed the songs he played for me.
Right. You like the Soundgarden stuff and the Audioslave, Chris Cornell, that kind of stuff?
Obviously, and the video was really good on MTV.
Right. What do you want to say? What do you want to send out into the ether? Maybe Chris's spirit is still circling around on its way to wherever it's going. What do you say in his memory?
I hope he's doing better where he is now. But, you know, and hey, Clay?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
I have the Kurt Cobain that really bothered me in 93.
Yep, yep.
94.
Well, it makes us think, doesn't it, when these people pass away? It makes us look at our own mortality.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run. I'm going to have to cut you off. What do you want to tell everybody? Final words.
Hang in there, please.
We will, man. And if you need to call again, you do it, okay? I want you to be okay. You going to be okay?
Yes, Clay, thank you.
I know. I can tell you're upset. I hope you're all right.
And you sound better, too. You feel a lot better.
Thanks, man. We care about you here, okay?
All right, thanks, Clay.
FMU family. Don't forget it, man.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I love this. You guys always like when I play this Henry Mancini, Hatari. I haven't moved around. I haven't danced. I thought about that. Like, you're not dancing anymore. Hey, you're not singing. You can't force it. But the sitar makes me kind of want to do some kind of ghost waltz around the studio. Just like a, let me see what happened. A little ghost waltz. Not long. Pick up a little chair and drop. I love destruction of inanimate objects. That's misplaced aggression, isn't it? That's how those despotic leaders, they get carried away. Feels so good. It's like the Chuck Mangione moment. You know, you can call a Sinneruptus if you need. 201-209-9368, Dusty Show. 201-209-9368. I'll let this instrumental roll through real quick because I don't have quite a plan. Let's see. I'm going to go to number three. And you probably would be just fine if I stayed with this Neil Ardley. You ever heard of Neil Ardley? Rainbow Four. This is cool. There's so many rabbit holes you can go down on that internet, isn't it? That with the music. And then they suggest other things, and you see things, and things you haven't heard, and you listen to that thing, and you buy that thing. I bought this. It probably cost me 99 cents for this sucker. Okay, man, I'm really updating it today. You guys think I'm trapped in the 70s, don't you? Listen to this. That sounds like Miles or something. When I hear that muted trumpet, I want to smoke something. I'm not smoking right now. Lacuna Coil, have you heard of those guys? It's probably the last thing you were thinking you wanted to hear right now, but it's coming at you. I'm shoving it at you, baby. Daylight Dancer, horrible title. Who cares? They're from Milan, Italy. Century Media Label, 2002. I'm all about the early 2000s. I'm a little ahead of the curve. I'm actually ahead of the curve. You think I'm behind? I'm ahead. Lacuna Coil, baby. I would talk to you if you needed me. I would. 201-209-9368. It's scary to throw that number out there because it's so easily ignored. And you feel a little embarrassed. 201-209-9368. Please help me. I like this this kind of new metal thing. This Italian metal. Because you know it's just going to kick in. And that all goes back to Cobain and Chris Cornell and those, a whisper to a roar, they called it. And it probably goes back further than that, doesn't it? Like Blue Cheer, that kind of stuff. It's all interconnected, you guys. All the generations, all the way back to the beginning of time. Low stuff just hits me right in the ovals. Sounds like Evanescence, doesn't it, a little bit? It's kind of Julie music, some upside-down bad stuff, isn't it? Sounds like we got a caller there. Anybody there?
Hi, Clay, yeah.
Hey, I'm
Sean. How you doing, buddy?
Sean in Bristol. How you doing, Sean? What's up? What are you thinking about?
Oh, well, Clay, I just got a quick question for you. I know I just read on the WFMU newsletter email that you're part of a documentary. How do I get to see that? Can we get to see over here over in the UK on a particular platform?
Well, probably not anytime soon. I feel like I've made everybody sick with that thing over here. I've been pumping it so hard, and we don't talk about our own projects, but you did ask me, so unless we get distribution, you probably would have a hard time seeing it, but so far it's going pretty good, so we'll hope to get some, Sean, and I hope you can see that film.
Oh, great. Can you remind me what the title is again?
Okay, man, this is not a plan. I didn't tell you to call. It's 1 October.
Oh, that's it, right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually, I'm out interviewing people, and it's got quite a bit of FMU vibe to it, so hope you can catch it, man. Someday. You will someday. What else is up, Sean? Talk to me here.
Well, just getting ready for all the complete overkill for the general election, which is 3-4 weeks away, I think.
And what's at stake? What's at stake over there? Tell us about it.
Well, basically, Theresa May wants to strengthen her the whole Brexit thing.
Right,
and,
right.
She took the risk of basically calling it. I mean, we weren't due in the general election until 2020, so 3 years early, but she just wants to get a complete majority that she won't have any particular problems trying to get what's so-called a hard Brexit through Parliament, which is a complete and utter, you know, a cut-off from the European Union.
Is she going to get it?
I think it's going to be a landslide.
You do?
June. I can't see Labour, which is, you know, because we have quite a few parties over here, Labour, UKIP, Liberal Democrats,
right.
Green Party. But, yeah, I think I can't see any of the two parties really standing up to the Conservatives. I think it's going to be a complete...
Sean, is Trump coming over there now on his trip?
Well, that's the plan, isn't it? Wasn't it sometime later in this year? It's going to be a whole complete state, reception, you know, guard of honor and...
Right, the carriage. He wants the carriage.
A five-course meal at Buckingham Palace or whatever.
He's used to that... that lifestyle, I guess. Sean, I can't keep you too long. I want to keep the music flowing today. What do you want
Absolutely
to tell
sure.
our... What do you want to... Well, first of all, what are they saying about Donald Trump over there? People worried? Are they amused? A little bit of both?
Amused. Amused with a capital A.
Are they laughing at us, Sean?
Sorry?
Are they laughing at us?
Not at the American population, no. I think at American politics, I think more than anything. I think more, also a bit of, like, sympathy as well, I think you can throw in the mix there.
Right, right. Well, we're fighting over here, Sean. What do you want to tell the listeners? What's your message of peace and love? There are a lot of people listening today. They're interested in you over in England. What do you want to say to them?
Stay optimistic, and for all you Mets fans like myself, we're going to get through this rut, and we're going to come out shining.
You like the Mets?
September.
You like the Mets?
Oh, yeah, big Mets fan, yeah.
Hold on, Sean. Take the helm here. I got to diddle with a knob. Just give me about 20 seconds, okay? Go for something here.
Would you like me to keep talking?
Yeah, just keep talking.
Okay. To all you... all the American cousins over there, I think we have this close relationship, and I think that's important for both countries. I'll be heading over in September, so hoping to meet some new friends in Houston, and hopefully renewing an acquaintance of another WFMU listener in Arizona, Drew. You might be listening, so buddy, looking forward to meeting up with you.
Thanks, Sean.
September.
Hey, Sean, do you? I'm going to play a Liverpool band right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Coral coming up. You like them?
Not familiar with them. If you said Flock of Seagulls, I would have been familiar with
okay,
that.
Okay, man. I got you. Sean, good to talk to you, man.
Thanks, sir, Clay. Keep up the good work. Love you. Love what you do.
I love you too, man. Take care, Sean. I'm a little scattered. I want to be so smooth. It's important to me. When I listen later, I don't want to be embarrassed by being jagged and unprepared or nervous sounding or shy. You always want things to go smoothly and confidently. It's a challenge every week. There's always weak spots and lulls, but I feel pretty good today. I feel like you're out there listening. I can feel you out there. I can. I can feel you coming through the wires and the radio here. 22 after 6. Why do I feel so guilty for playing music? I'm not getting clicky star. I don't think you guys should like this stuff. I like this one. It's new one. 2016, pretty new from the Coral. Chasing the Tail of a Dream. See what you think. You probably know it. You guys know everything. You know more than I. You know all this new stuff. The Coral, Chasing the Tail of a Dream. Clay Pigeon on the right on the cutting corner of things, baby. I know what's going down. Jesus. Dusty Show, who's this?
Clay, it's a repeat caller, Chris and Ginny.
Okay, listen, Chris.
I called like 3 minutes ago. You sound in better spirits. You didn't sound very good 3 weeks ago. You're in better spirits. Your playlist is wonderful. And I miss you in the mornings.
You're an affirming character. You're affirming here. You're giving me confidence, man.
No, you sound a little despondent about 3 weeks ago.
Did I? I think it was sleep deprivation, but I like operating on that level. I like being stone crazy. I feel a little too in control, man. I need to freak out, but I can't just force it, you know?
That's true, because you work in the morning that day.
How about you? Can you freak out at will? Can you just give me a blood-curdling scream right now as I slowly turn you down?
I did that 3 weeks ago.
Do
you
it
want it now, Clay?
Do it. I want it, baby.
Really?
I want it.
You got it.
I love it. I love it. On the Aki playlist, I got a comment. Ken from Hyde Park. No DJ in history, and I say this with great surety, has been trolled worse or more unfairly. You think they trolling me? You guys are actually really nice to me. Unbelievably nice. No phone calls right now, though. Anybody want to feel like talking? 201-209-9368, especially the new callers. 201-209-9368. I love talking during this song, trying to get to sweet melancholy place of feeling and sadness and joy. They are intertwined sometimes. Hardy's getting ready. He's up at 7 with Miracle Nutrition. Center's Crossroads follows, then Dave the Spaz, Nickname, and Stan, all on the TNP. Just having a look here. Got a clicky star for that choral, a one for Lacuna. I'm not lighting the world on fire with these selections. Wait a minute, I forgot something. Let's roll this through. I'm going to supersede that one. I was liking this. Now, do you like this? This is something I stumbled on. A Canadian guy, Scott Morgan. We got so many Canadian, we're lousy with the Canadian listeners. You guys know Scott Morgan? Loscil, he calls himself something. Is that how you say it? L-O-S-C-I-L? Am I talking too much? Zephyr is this song, 2006, a record called Plume. Just let this get into you for a minute. Over the past week, just adding layers on, in a garage band. It's fun stuff, fun to do.
Over by the goalpost, there's Tommy Touchdown combing his hair. Over by the goalpost, there's Tommy Touchdown combing his hair. His brother drives an AMX Javelin, and soon he'll do some traveling. But no, Tommy, you can't come along. Grandpa and Grandma will take you over by the goalpost. There's Tommy Touchdown combing his hair. Tommy Touchdown over by the goalpost combing his hair, having a conversation with an invisible bloke who's not really there, polishing his helmet. Over by the goalpost there's Tommy Touchdown combing his hair. His brother drives an AMX Javelin, and soon he will be traveling. No, Tommy, you can't come along. Grandpa and Grandma died. Tommy can't hide from his feelings forever. The pain, the pain. Grandma used to push him on a swing. The pain, the pain. Grandpa never really did a thing. I was sidelined years ago. I was thrown against the frozen ground in the blinding snow. They stole me touchdown. Every boy, the girl, pays losing his head. Takes out his comb and he tries to comb it, but it's no longer there. His woman done left him high and dry. Not a dry house in the eye. His children disowned him. They no longer phone him. Down buried neath the goalpost, deep in the dirt. He smiles in the darkness, a picture of Grandma pinned to his shirt. They couldn't close the lid, cause his helmet was too big. A desperate burrowing varmint flipped his wig. The distant caterwauling of a witch. An AMX javelin in a ditch. Grandpa and Grandma reached down with angel hands. And in the distance, a high school marching band. Souls off to heaven or wherever they go. Blinded by darkness and driven by the snow. Tommy, where did you go? They laid you down in a little Dutch town. Tommy Touchdown.
I am Tommy Touchdown.
You?
Yes, yes.
But you're so old.
It was not always so.
You were?
Yes.
Like me?
Yes.
I was like you long ago.
You threw touchdowns.
Yes.
Long ago.
You touched down Tommy.
Yes, yes.
I'm so honored to meet you. Touchdown Tommy.
Tommy Touchdown.
Touchdown Tommy.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Your legend is still alive.
It's still alive.
In the halls they still whisper about your final drive. Now you stayed in the pocket. It was a simple crossing pattern.
And you connected.
It was wide open.
Tommy Touchdown. And you found him.
And you won the game. And you earned your fame. We respect your name. Touchdown Tommy.
I'm Tommy Touchdown, standing by the goalpost, wizened and brown. I am transparent, yet it's quite apparent that I'm a ghost. Why am I hanging around? Am I hoping to score one last touchdown? To hear the sweet sound of the crowd.
I remember the feeling when I first heard the crowd.
I was just a country boy.
I never heard a thing so loud.
And they raised me on their shoulders
and waved their banners high.
I thought that I had played only marginally well, and that they might have the wrong guy. But it was me they wanted to raise on their shoulders. It was me. Hedley Chin.
Tommy Touchdown, Tommy Touchdown, Tommy Touchdown, Tommy Touchdown, Tommy Touchdown, Tommy Touchdown.
And now I'm up here in heaven, just floating around, bringing the other angels down.
AMX traveling down the road, traveling home, getting further away, further away. And the further he goes, the lonelier he seems to be. Grandpa, Grandma, I miss the day. Your sweet old-fashioned ways. I'm Tommy Touchdown here up in heaven, throwing a bomb, throwing it long to the believers, throwing it long to my receiver. The ball's made of gold, it's awfully heavy. I throw a dying quail, a bevy.
Fail, I fail.
And the ball falls to the holy ground. It falls to the holy ground. Goalpost combing me hair. No, I'm Tommy Touchdown over by the goalpost combing me hair. No, I'm Tommy Touchdown over by the goalpost combing me hair. Me brother has an AMX javelin, a beautiful white one,
a 1969. With all of its handsome lines and a white leather interior.
Touchdown Tommy felt inferior. All of the days of his life
when no one was around,
Tommy Touchdown cried. The tears from his eyes, how they crystallized. Grandpa staring out the nursing home window while the clock ticks on the wall. On the sill is a curious sparrow. Wings are strong, beak is straight, but the head is too narrow.
Grandpa smiles at the bird, but it flits and flies away
to a better place on some happier day. Now the nurse comes in
with pills upon a tray. Grandpa takes a few. Soon he is far away
in some misty land
where he is young again and the marching band comes marching round the bend. Brasses gleaming in the sun,
and there's the field
where Grandpa used to run
long ago,
so very long ago,
long ago.
Now the
football field's all covered in snow, and the bleachers all are empty. Oh, and it's cool outside, at least 10 below. Grandpa's glory's just a memory.
Most of us didn't have guns. Oh, we'd talked about getting them before, then dismissed the notion with nervous laughter. Surely it wouldn't come to that, would it? A time when we would need guns to fight our fellow citizens? Of those of us that did have weapons, few seemed the gung-ho type we commonly associate with gun ownership. Most of our gun owners were people who'd purchased a firearm for home protection, to fend off late-night intruders, burglars, opioid addicts, not for some inconceivable civil war. But it was upon us now, and we were not ready. We were terrified, all of us. Some put on brave faces and said brave things, but others huddled in corners, weeping and shaking in a state of disbelief that it had indeed come to this. It happened slowly, incrementally, day by day, the chipping away at the old order, the bold proclamations and outrageous actions of the ruling body, the complicity of the media, and the silencing of voices in dissent, be they journalists, writers, artists, poets, actors, or just people unafraid to speak their minds. They were made to feel afraid. Some of them were killed, or worse, until things did go mostly silent. There was only one news source now, the state-owned news. Only one voice mattered, the leader's voice. And he had many followers, with many guns, bigger and more deadly than ours, some of them. And the people behind the triggers were hateful and incensed. We had become dehumanized in their eyes, and they in ours. We had lost without fighting. We were hunted. In our band, there must have been 75 to 100 of us, varying in age, though not too many elderly. They slowed us down. Hard choices had to be made. Many were left behind. Families torn apart. Babies cried. Mothers wailed. Fathers fought amongst themselves. We had no leader. The only thing that held us together, at least at the start, was fear of being alone. If there was any safety at all, it felt as if it were in numbers, though we were wrong. Safety was in hiding, in being invisible, in running, in small numbers, but we stayed together, all of us. We were trying to get to Canada. If we could make it across the border, we thought we might find sanctuary there. But the border was well guarded now. No one was to get out. No one was to escape. Many were shot or blown apart by mines and grenades and bombs. Many were cut and left bleeding on the razor wire. Many were captured and killed or were tortured for the amusement of the enemy. We lived in terror, on the run, some of us praying who believed in a God, the rest of us grimly imagining our own demise and how soon it might come. Vermont was cold in February, and many of us were ill-equipped to face the winter. Some died of sickness despite our efforts at caretaking. There was no medicine, and few supplies. We were short on blankets and provisions. A lot of us were frostbit, our fingertips and extremities gone black. Some would be gangrenous by spring and need makeshift amputations with dull knives heated over fires and leather straps and strong men to hold people down when they screamed, and rags in the mouth so the screams would not be heard, because they were getting closer, we had no doubt. Sometimes we heard them in the distance, their dogs and their giant pickup trucks. We heard their happy laughter, drunk with power and victory, guiltless, murderous laughter. We could hear it, though we ourselves remained quiet as could be, hiding in ditches or in old ramshackle barns and outbuildings. Sometimes we encountered one of the enemy. They were looking for us, and maybe they would shoot and hit one of us or kill one of us. And then we would kill them quickly, efficiently, joylessly, There was no time to bury. We covered the dead as we went, shut their eyes, but we left them there just the same for the wind and the rain and the rut. Sometimes we pinned a note to the victim's clothing, a note with one word only, resist. The border would be guarded everywhere. They meant to kill us all, stop us and kill us. They might spare the children only because they could be trained, reconditioned, and programmed to fight against us. The children were impressionable, vulnerable. The rest of us they would kill, and they would be happy to do it. Rarely did I see any regret in an enemy eye. Rather, it was like gazing into the empty black eyes of swine, cold, emotionless. You knew no man could be that way, but the division between us was so complete, so unchangeable, that there was no relating, no negotiating, not even shared misery. For most of the misery was ours, the resistors. We were resisting, but it was not working. We were losing. We were losing it all. How had it happened? How had we gotten so complacent and lazy and cynical and disconnected? Did we falsely believe that the time-honored mechanisms of our government would operate smoothly? That the checks and balances we had always known would correct the aberration in the system? There were whispers in advance which grew ever louder. We need to fight! We need to fight! But we did not. We did not wish to think about it. We tried to block it out. We tried to believe that it would all just go away. All the bad, all the lies, all the injustice and the racism and the hate. But it did not go away. It was like a fire, and it grew and it grew. It grew all over the world. And the voices that spoke against it seemed weak and feeble, though we had the numbers. We can never deny now that we had the numbers. Yet we did not act. We did nothing. We were steamrolled over by the bully and his minions. We cowered weak and ineffectual while the tanks rolled out and the cherries spun their red and blue lights against warehouse walls. All the handcuffs and tasers and dogs and beatings and jailings. More and more and more. And the poverty and death. Now we were too poor to fight, too hungry, too sick. Some of us stayed healthy somehow, young enough, I guess, hale enough. But the children were thin and raggedy, colicky and mewling. And the rest, well, nerves got the best of many of them. Those who were already near the edge went over, many of them. Went crazy and hurt themselves or killed themselves. They jumped off bridges and off buildings and out of windows. They slit their wrists and put guns in their mouths. They took pills and poisons. They couldn't face it. They couldn't face the death and the torture, let alone the change and the loss of everything dear, everything. And the worst part was, your neighbor was your enemy. All those years you knew each other, made jokes, barbecued, went to birthdays and weddings, and then a few years of increasingly divisive politics, questioned elections, and the TV, the internet, relentless all the time, unending 24/7, the hate machine grinding and profiting, hating and grinding and profiting. While we became sicker and sicker and sicker in the head, more afraid, more vulnerable, manipulatable. It just got so bad. It was toxic. So many turned away and they ignored. Don't talk about it. Don't mention it. Ignore it. Ignore it. They will destroy themselves. They will burn out and implode. But they did not. They multiplied, and the great powerful battery of hate fueled them and made them want more, 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 until they felt as if they had to have it all, the whole world. And even if the true spoils were enjoyed by only a handful of them, the richest ones, even if the poor were still poor and the ignorant still ignorant, in that time they were winning. were white. The bad times were behind them. All victory was sweet. The other must run. The other was unwanted and threatened and killed and beaten and vilified. And fat, gross Caucasians dined on snack cakes and pop and farted and spat and copulated in the weeds and felt good inside because even though they were disgusting losers, they were white disgusting losers, and they were holding on to their dream of supremacy. They were beating back the alien for God and country, for the leader. They were great again. By May, we were down to 20 or 30. The rest had died of exposure or had been killed by the enemy. Tomorrow, we would be on the border, and we would run, and one of two of us might make it. The rest would be shot or blown apart, captured, tortured, raped, killed. Heads on pikes along that border. There were hundreds of them. You could see them at night if you had a television on the Freedom Channel. Freedom Channel 1, every night at 8 p.m., he made a speech. My fellow Americans, sometimes he would belch or fart and people would laugh. How natural the leader was, how real, just like us, they said. He is just like us. His wife was sometimes next to him, the beauty. How lucky we were to have such a pretty lady as our leader's wife. She was stunning. Her cheekbones were pronounced and her dresses were expensive, and often they were powder blue in color. She rarely said anything, anything at all. But men did most of the speaking now. The white men, older rich men, they were the speakers. The younger ones drank scotch and hunted and cursed and fornicated with prostitutes in expensive hotels. They did cocaine and painkillers, lots of them. The rich needed them. They had their own weird inner demons. How could this be? They had it all. Yet they were afflicted with neurosis, the sickness of their wealth. They were sick with it. And with power, and it corroded that hate battery till the orange acids leaked from the cheaply welded seams. Out came the orange corrosion. It could not be contained, and it burned, and it corroded everything in its path, everything that it touched, the rust, the cancer, the orange pus leaking out and onto everything from the hate battery. You couldn't get it off of you. The rich people were corroded. They called out to their fake Jesus, but now he couldn't hear them anymore. Their churches were full, yet they were wholly empty of spirit. Only hidden churches in the woods, nailed together with faith. Real churches with minuscule congregations of lifelong practicing believers. Those were the only real churches. Sometimes we came across them in the woods. Sometimes there was broth and bread and a pair of gloves or socks. There were directions to the next safe place, the next kind people. Sometimes. And now the venomous devil bark and bite. The muscle, the gleaming two-fisted, God-blessed, saber-crossed, helmeted, medal-awarded, meathead, rah-rah, redneck, mother fuselage burns in the field, brought down by Russian missiles, brought down by Russian missiles, and Russian secrets, and Russian hacking, Russian infiltration. Look at the swine, smile, and plan your demise. Are you sitting there, ignoring it, wishing it would stop, wishing it would stop? I am wishing, running, thinking, wanting something to happen, but nothing.
Lies the snake in the sun, in my disgrace, boy.
Soundgarden bringing us to the end of the Dusty Show. Chris Cornell gone. Very sad to hear that news. What a tremendous voice. But we'll always remember him here at the Dusty Show. I know you will too. Chris Cornell, we send you off to the great spirits with all our love. And thanks for all the gift that you gave to us through your tremendous voice and your artistry. Thank you so much. And maybe radio's the way he can hear, because it says it goes on and on forever, that radio signal out into space, on and on forever, wrapped around tendrils of the spirit rising heavenward toward nirvana, toward absolute bliss, as we all are, hopefully. I'm way into Hardy's time. Hardy, I love you. Forgive me, man. That's it. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Hardy White's next with Miracle Nutrition. The TNP follows. Always remember, everybody, Chris Cornell.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Movies go by and have a glance, hypnotized as if in a trance. Stories from the distant past, played out by writers, directors, and cast. Who knows what others see in life, the priest, collector, the general's wife. Who knows who is different and who is the same? We all are watching the Open Grove game. Oh, my friends, it's so great to be with you. I'm glad we can be together. What do you want to do? I think the best thing to do when you don't know what to do is watch a movie. Let's watch a movie together. I've always loved the movies. I'm inspired by them. I love going to the movies. I love having the movies come to me. I like meeting the movies halfway. You know, if you can't bring Muhammad to the movies, take him to the mountain. Because there's going to be a movie there, maybe. They're going to project it on the side of the mountain like Stone Mountain does with the laser shows. Oh, look, there's Jefferson Davis. His eyes are spinning. The first movie that I ever remember seeing. Now, my mother says my first movie was Sound of Music. I have no memory of this. Maybe I blocked it out or something. But the first one I remember seeing was a Wayne Newton movie called 80 Steps to Jonah. So I've never heard of that. Well, yes, of course you haven't. I wasn't even sure it existed. I had to look it up later. And yes, it does. Wayne Newton was in this movie. Now, I've since gotten it confused with the Hitchcock movie, 39 Steps. So in my mind, it's 39 Steps for Jonah, and it's about a guy named Mr. Memory who goes to a camp for blind children, and his life is transformed after a spy is killed. But I think it was about something entirely different. I think maybe Wayne Newton was a drifter. He came to the camp and he goes, "Dankeschön, darling, Dankeschön, thank you for teaching me German," he said. That was the song. And he's famous for that. It might have come out of the movie. I don't remember. But I do remember that this movie that wasn't so great left a lasting impression. Sometimes great movies affect me. Sometimes not so great movies do. But that's because movies can get in a part of your brain called the movie part. And sometimes you even mistake it for your own experience. That's happened to me. Did I own a chocolate factory? I may have. I don't remember. I think I did. I used to think I was in sitcoms when I was little. I used to confuse my life with cousin, what's his name on Brady Bunch that comes in, cousin Wilbur or Willie or Eddie or don't yell it out. I don't care. It was me. But I know that wasn't really me. But you know how entertainment is. It gets into a part of your head. Novels do that. They let you experience other people's lives the way that dry history doesn't. Wet history does. And by that, I mean fiction. You know, stories allow you to submerge yourself. Is this like an adult baptism? Say, oh, I am going to the mikveh of storytelling, and I will be submerged, and when I come up, I will be wet. And maybe transformed. Who knows? It's like emerging from the womb. When you come out of a movie theater, it's like that. It's like you're being born all over again. That's why you have that kind of viscous goo on you. Say, what is this? Oh, that happens when you're coming out of the birth canal, a.k.a. The movie theater, the multiplex. They used to only have one theater. Now they have 50 in one under one roof. Now, they've made the screen smaller. When I was young, the screens were the size of a city block. And you could just look up and you'd think, oh my goodness, Wayne Newton's head is huge. Later on, I learned it is that big. It's amazing. He endures because of the large head. Another movie experience I remember was from high school. We were going to watch a movie. There was a fundraiser. Say, we're going to sell tickets and we're going to show a movie in the cafeteria. And it's going to be Tommy by The Who. I was like, okay, I don't know, I'm not super thrilled with that, but it seems kind of cool. So the day of, we have our tickets to Tommy, the funds have been raised, we get there, and they say, hey, look, some of the mothers have objected to this movie, say it's immoral and corrupting and everything, so now we're going to watch Day of the Dolphin. And none of us wanted to see that, really. Thing on Fa's back will hurt Fa. Ka love Fa. Yes, get the thing on Fa's back. So watch that and go, man, this is dumb. It's about dolphins doing something with bombs. There was one named Fa, one named Ka. I think the other one's named You. But that's the way it felt. It felt like, boy, there's a bit of bait and switch here. If you buy tickets to one movie, then you end up seeing another. Oh, isn't that like life? How so? I don't know. You figure it out. But we're gonna watch a movie in a bit because I made one. So how could you make a movie for radio? How is that possible? Isn't it a radio play? No, it's an actual movie. It's digital, just like real movies now, so it's indistinguishable. You don't need film anymore for movies, so therefore, you know, it can be a film, in quotes. I'm holding my fingers up as if I'm prying something away, prying a sign off the wall. It's supposed to be quote marks because Victor Borge didn't, I don't know if he made a proper sound for that. What are you doing, Victor? I don't know. Punctuation. But I got a movie for you. And I don't know if it's good or funny. So, well, you're not normally funny. And now you're hurting me. I don't know. I want you to laugh. Laugh with me. Let's just laugh. Oh, goodness. A forced laugh. There's nothing worse. But I want you to watch this with me and say, well, you know, isn't it the pictures that are important? Maybe. You know, I found a little interesting film a while back that's affected me. It's a very short film from 1930, and it's called Tomatoes Another Day. And it was conceived and executed as a satire on the fact that sound, and it was an early sound movie,